And we're going to be looking at this for the next few weeks, coming towards Pentecost. And I'll just give you just a wee outline of some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Tonight we're going to talk about introducing the Holy Spirit. Who is he? We're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the introduction to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, special gifts of the Holy Spirit, the speaking gifts of the Holy Spirit, the serving gifts of the Holy Spirit, the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then we're going to talk about discovering your spiritual gift, then the fruit of the Spirit, the works of the flesh, and developing spiritual fruit. So these are the things that we're going to talk about over the next number of weeks. So we're going to take it up tonight. But if you look with me, firstly, in your Bible, in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19. You know, this here is the Apostle Paul, and during one of his missionary trips, he meets a group of believers here, and he asks them about the Holy Spirit. Let's read from chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, "It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now, I'm reading from the King James, and in the King James it uses the word Holy Ghost. The word actually in Greek is the word pneuma, and it's the word spirit. And just in the Old English, there was no word for spirit, and so it was the Holy Ghost. So when you're reading from the King James, it's the Holy Ghost, but it's the same person as the Holy Spirit, okay? It's just a different translation. But Paul here, he asked these group of believers, he said, "Have you received the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And they said, "We never heard of the Holy Ghost, never heard of the Holy Spirit." And you know, particularly for us, this is a Pentecostal church, which means that we believe in Pentecost. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe the Spirit of God was poured out. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And so for us as a church, we need to know all about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what his work is, how he works in the life of believers, how he assigns different gifts to different believers, and so on and so on. And that's what we're going to talk about. But you know, the sad truth is we live in a generation where there's not so many people who know about the Holy Spirit. And because people don't know about the Holy Spirit, then they can't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit or operate in the Holy Spirit because they don't know anything about him. And you know, the Bible talks about, most of you know, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." But what he's talking about here is, how can you operate in something that you know nothing about? And so we're going to take up for the next number of weeks, we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is. And so, just the same as it was back then, it's important that believers understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit that God has promised. Look back with me in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You know, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at just lots of places in the Bible where it talks about the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons why we do that is because that's where we're safe. You know, when we go and look at all the scriptures where the Holy Spirit is mentioned, and it brings an element of safety because we know that what we're studying is biblical. All the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. But look here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. It says here, this is Peter speaking here, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." But he says here that in the last days, God says he was going to pour out his Spirit. In the last days, he's going to pour out his Spirit. How many of you believe we're living in the last days? Well, we believe we're living in the last days. If we were living in the last days 2,000 years ago, how many of you believe we're living in the last days now? Well, he said in the last days he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And so he's talking about our time, our dispensation, our generation, and God has poured out his Spirit. But the question is, have we received the Spirit? Or are we allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives? And if we don't know who the Spirit is, or if we don't know the function of the Holy Spirit, how would we know whether we have him or if we're flowing in the gifts of the Spirit or not? And so he says that he's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. You know, the fact that God is willing to pour out his Spirit makes this study important. We must understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit if we're going to be part of what the Holy Spirit is doing in our generation. You know, this study on the Holy Spirit is one of the major doctrines of the Bible, but it's the major doctrine of a Pentecostal church, is the study of the Holy Spirit. And because it's one of the major doctrines, the Apostle Paul says that until Jesus comes, that we should be paying attention to the doctrines of the Bible. And so one of the doctrines is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You know, in our generation, we don't move by men's might. And one of the things that we always talk about in this church is there is no man that can do anything of himself. I can't heal and you can't heal. I can't do spiritual gifts and you can't do spiritual gifts. It's the Spirit of God in us that does the work. And in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "It's not by might, it's not by power, it's but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Amen. So there's no man that can do anything. You know, I was sharing with the guys when we were down in Cork. Sometimes people look to the man and they say, "Oh, there's a great man of God." There is no such thing. There are only ordinary men, but with a mighty God. Or there are only ordinary men, but the Holy Spirit has got a hold of them. Do you understand? But the man himself is just a vessel. And so what we need is the Holy Spirit. And as we're saying that, we need to understand something too. See, each and every single person in this room, every one of us have the same opportunity, the same ability to be filled with the Spirit of God and to flow in the gifts and the anointings of the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us are called to do that. Right from the very beginning, when God created Adam, the very first thing that God did with Adam, when Adam lay on the ground and Adam was just a little muddy man, he had no life in him, but the Bible says that God got down on his knees, if you like, and he breathed his Spirit into the man, and man became a living soul. And that tells us that right from the very beginning, it was the will of God that every man be filled with the Spirit. Every man. And you don't look around you and say, "Well, you know, you're all special, but, you know, it's not for me." Every one of us have the same opportunity. And I have to be honest, and you know, when I say this sometimes, but you need to understand where my heart is. You know, where I came from, never went to school, never had any education, never learned a trade, never done any of those things. And you know what? God filled me with his Holy Spirit, and I do the things that I do by the grace of God. And if God can do that with me, he can do it with anybody. And I really mean that sincerely. If he can do it with me, he can do it with anybody, because you don't know me. Or maybe you do. But anyway, you understand. So let's go back to the very beginning for a moment in Genesis chapter 1. Let's talk about the Spirit. And we're going to talk about who he is. And we're going to talk about just a little bit of the Holy Spirit's work. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And this is the first place that we see the Spirit of God. I want you to notice here as we read this. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So in the beginning, there was God. And God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says that the earth was dark, and that there was chaos, if you like, over the face of the deep. But you know what it says? It says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And so right back in the very beginning, we see God creating, and we see the Spirit of God was on the earth. He was hovering over the face of the waters. The word that's used there for hovering over the face of the waters is the word, it's the same word for a chicken brooding over some eggs. And so, if you like, God was the one who was creating, but the Spirit of God was brooding over the earth. And so right in the beginning, we see that the Godhead consists of God and consists of the Spirit of God. But I want you to understand, the Spirit of God was right there in the very beginning. Before anything else was, the Spirit of God was here. Now let's just flip to the very last page of the Bible, if you like, Genesis or Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And this is speaking here right at the very, very end. After the judgment, after Satan has been bound, and after Satan has been cast into the lake of fire, and after the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, it says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come, and whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." And this is the very, very end here. And what it tells us is the Spirit of God was here right at the very beginning, and the Spirit of God is right here at the very end. And the Spirit of God has always been here, and there will never be a time when the Spirit of God is not here, right? So the Spirit of God has been here from the beginning, and the Spirit of God will be right here at the end. And so he's here for everything in between as well. Do you know what's amazing? Before God created anything, the Spirit of God was here. We talked about that. When the earth was dark and without form and void, the Spirit of God was here. When the Antichrist was ruling the earth, the Spirit of God was here. During the time when Satan was loosed on the earth, the Spirit of God is here. And then right at the very end, the Spirit of God is here. The Spirit of God has always been here and will always be here. Look with me in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This study, as we said, on the Holy Spirit is really vitally important because it's part of the church doctrine. It's part of our church doctrine, and it's part of the doctrine of Pentecostal churches. And because this is a study here, I want you all to know that I want you to get this. And so if you want to get the notes so that you can look over it later, see Esther. I just get a copy of the notes. And every week as we come along, if you need to, just get a copy of the notes so that you can look over them when you go home and study these things for yourself. Look with me here in John chapter 14. Look at verse 15. Jesus said here in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you." He says here in verse 16, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Now, Jesus at this particular time was about to die. He was about to go back to heaven. And the disciples were all worried because they were thinking, you know, Jesus has walked with us for the last 3 years. Every time we had a need, Jesus provided it. Every time we were hungry, he fed us. Every time we were sick, he healed us. And now he's telling us he's going away. But Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. And just the word another there, there's two words for another in Greek. One is the word allos, and the other is the word heteros. The word heteros means another of a different kind, but the word allos means another of the same kind. And when Jesus here said, "I will send you another comforter," he said, "I will send you another of the same kind," or another one just like me. And so when Jesus sent the Holy Spirit was another just like him. That word allos, another of the same kind, to give you an example, you might say, if we were talking about fruit, you might say, "Here's an orange. Here's an orange, right? And here's a banana." You would say, "Here's a fruit, and here's another fruit." But it's another of a different kind. That's the word heteros, an orange and a banana. But if you had two oranges, you would say, here's a fruit, and here's another fruit, another of the same kind. And so what he's telling us here is that the Holy Spirit is exactly the same as Jesus, because one of his titles is, he's the Spirit of Christ. Amen. So he's another of the same kind. But Jesus here said, firstly, he said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." And look what he says, "that he may abide or live with you forever." You know, Jesus had to go away. But you know what we have? We have the Spirit of God who lives with us forever. And you know, the interesting thing about Jesus was confined, if you like, to a human body. And he was confined to everywhere he could walk, if you like. and he was confined to a certain group of people, because when Jesus walked the earth, he never went outside the boundaries of Israel. Well, he was down into Egypt when he was a child, but apart from that, he never went outside the boundaries of Israel. And so he was limited to who could access him. He was limited to who he could help and so on. But Jesus said that when I go, he said, I'm going to send you another comforter of the same kind who will be with you always or with you forever. And you know, if Jesus was living in Israel at the moment, we would have no access to him. But you know who we do have access to? We have access to the Holy Spirit, because he goes on to say that he will be in you. He will be in you. And that's the very first thing that happened when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Spirit of God came to live on the inside. Watch what he says here anyway. Verse 16 again. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now he says here to the disciples, he says, you know the Spirit because he dwells with you, and he says he will be in you. And the reason why he was saying to the disciples he will be in you in the future was because the Spirit wasn't poured out till the day of Pentecost. But how many of you know Pentecost was 2,000 years ago? And so when we receive Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice something interesting here. He said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, and he says the world can't receive the Holy Spirit. Do you know, when you talk to people who are outside, people who are not saved, people who are not born again, and you talk about the Holy Spirit or the things of God, they have no clue what you're talking about. They haven't got a notion. Do you know why? Because he says here the world can't receive him because it doesn't know him, but he says you know him. And the world can't receive Jesus or can't receive the Holy Spirit. Many times have you tried to witness to people or share with people, and they look at you like you're stupid because they have no concept. Look with me here in John chapter 16. Look back with me in verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus, again, speaking of the Spirit, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and will show it unto you. Notice here, firstly, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And you know, that's one of the very first functions of the Holy Spirit. And many times, do you know, do you not know whenever we got born again, whenever we got saved first, we didn't have all our ducks in a row, we didn't know everything. But you know what? We received the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God begins to teach us, begins to lead us, and begins to show us the right way to go. I was talking to Cozzy this morning. Myself and Cozzy were talking, and Cozzy was saying that sometimes when he goes to do something, he just gets this check in his spirit, and he feels, no, don't do that. And that's the Holy Spirit guiding you. That's the Holy Spirit leading you into the truth. And you know, when we got saved first, we didn't know everything. But you know what? When we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, the Scripture says the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. Then the Scripture says here that he will take of mine and he will show it unto you. Do you know one of the things about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit didn't come to magnify himself. He came to magnify Jesus. And he says he will take of mine and he will show it unto you. And the Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus. And it's amazing because, you know, sometimes you have people who have strange doctrines and they're all about the Holy Spirit and there's no mention of Jesus. But you know what? That's not balanced. Because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you into all the truth. And then he will take the things of Jesus and he will show them unto you. And so the Holy Spirit always points us to Jesus. And if the Holy Spirit is not pointing you to Jesus, then it's not the Holy Spirit. And then the Scripture here says, in the end of verse 13 here, it says, he will show you things to come. And you know, Holy Spirit reveals things to us that are about to happen or things that are about to come. And you know what's interesting about that is if you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart, the Holy Spirit will tell you things that you can't possibly know. That's why it's always important to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's always important to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you that you couldn't possibly know in the natural. Couldn't possibly know them. I was going to share a testimony, but I'll not. But the Holy Spirit will show you things that you couldn't possibly know. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. So the Holy Spirit is another like Jesus. He abides with us forever. The world can't receive him. When he comes, he guides us into all the truth. He shows us things to come. He glorifies Jesus. But here's something else that the Holy Spirit does. Look at this here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Look with me here in verse 16. It says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which we heard, this voice which came from heaven, which we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. But we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." I know there's quite wordy there, but the Apostle Peter here says that when we read the Word of God, he says, we're not following cunningly devised fables. These are not fables. And he goes on to say, we were eyewitnesses of Jesus' majesty. He says, the disciples, Peter, James, and John, and those guys, he said, they were there. They said, we were with him in the holy mountain. We saw when Jesus was transfigured. He says, we heard the voice that came from heaven saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." But then he goes on to say, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you would do well to take heed. And then he talks about the word of God. And he says, the word of God is not by any private interpretation. He says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit was the one who authored this book. And what he was talking about here is, people sometimes run after the spectacular. People sometimes run after the supernatural. And it's great to have the spectacular. It's great to have the supernatural. But you know what's even greater is the Word of God. Because you know, when we see signs and wonders and miracles, how many of you know the devil is able to do lying signs and wonders and miracles? How many of you know the devil is able to counterfeit everything that God does in a sense? But he says the only place that you're safe is in the Word of God, because the Word of God is a divinely authored book. It was written by the Holy Spirit. And you know, whenever people prophesy things or whenever things go on, you know what we should do? We should always measure them by the Word of God. Because when we measure them by the Word of God, that's how we know we're safe. And this book here, the Bible says, was authored by the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said back in John chapter 16, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. What is truth? Jesus said in John 17:17, it says, your word is truth. And the Holy Spirit guides us into the word. I was talking to a guy one day, a preacher actually. And he was talking about stuff and it was way out there. And I said to him, you know, that doesn't line up with the Bible. He says, I have no time for the Bible. He says, I'm way out beyond that. He says, I'm way out in the Spirit. And I said to him, well, if you're way out beyond the Bible, then it's not of God. Because the Bible says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth, not guide you away from the truth. Do you understand? And so you've got to be careful. And let me just say this to you, guys. Every one of us need to be careful. Because every one of us can be deceived, if you like. And sometimes we think that we hear a voice that comes from God. And it might be just our own flesh or it could even be the devil, the enemy. And every time something is said, every time you see something, it needs to line up with the Word of God. It really does. Because sometimes, you know, people can get off and maybe they're listening to their own flesh, or maybe they're listening to the enemy, or they're listening to something else. That's the reason why every one of us should have our own Bible. That's the reason why every time we say, turn to a scripture, you should turn to the scripture and read it for yourself. Because we can be deceived. You understand? I know some of you don't believe that, but it's true. We can be deceived. We can be led astray. And people can say things, and sometimes you just need to listen to your spirit. So this scripture was written by the word of, or by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. And again, it's just saying the same thing, that Samuel the prophet spoke by the Spirit of the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, and the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me, and he set me on my feet, and that I heard him that spoke unto me. And so again, he's just saying here that the Spirit of God entered into him and spoke through him. And so this book is a divinely authored book. It was written by the Holy Spirit. Look with me in Mark chapter 13. The Holy Spirit then will teach us, because the Holy Spirit can enter into us and speak through us. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit also will teach us what to say. Look what he says here in Mark chapter 13. You know, these Old Testament guys were led by the Spirit, and the Spirit taught them. And he will teach us also. Look in Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. Look at verse 10. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. For when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak. Neither do ye premeditate. For whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. And what he's talking about here is sometimes we'll be taken before people and we don't know what to say. But he says in that time, just trust the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. You know what's amazing about that was years ago, I was out in the streets, myself and my cousin Peter, were actually knocking on doors and we were talking to people. And we came to this particular house. And this guy came to the door, and he was an atheist. And we got engaged in a conversation with him. And I just started to share, but I turned open my Bible like that, and I had my finger in it, and I had a verse that I was going to share with him. Just got this verse, and thought, I'm going to share this with him. And you know what he did? He asked me a question, and the answer to the question was the verse that I had open. And so I just done that, and I read it to him. And as I was talking to him then and explaining to him, I turned to another verse. And I had my hand in it like that, and I was talking to him, and I had this other verse ready to share with him. And he asked me a question, and the answer was the verse that I had opened. And I opened it like that, and I read it to him. And then I turned to another verse, and I had it like that, and I was talking away to him. And then he asked me another question, and the answer was the verse that I was going to show him. And he stopped me, and he says, how are you doing that? I says, to be honest with you, I don't know. But it was the Holy Spirit. But he actually said to me, he says, how are you doing that? I said, no idea. But I know now what it was. It was the Holy Spirit was showing me. Do you understand? And sometimes we find ourselves in situations, and I'm sure some of you have found yourselves in situations and you've given people an answer and you didn't even know how you knew the answer, but you knew it just at the right time. And so he teaches us what to say. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look with me here in let's read here from verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, or there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And what he's telling us here is there's different gifts, but it's the Holy Spirit who gives the gifts. It says there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Or it's the Lord Jesus that administers them. And there are differences of operations, but it's the same God who works in all. But look what he says in verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to the every man. You know what that means? That there are gifts available to us, and the scripture here says they are given to every man to profit each and every one of us. Now, the same gift is not given to every one of us. There are gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God gives the gifts to every man, the Bible says. How many people does he give the gifts to? Every man. Do you know what that means? It means you have a gift. It means you have a spiritual gift. The Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit are given to every man to profit with all, or to profit every one of us. And the reason why I have a teaching gift per se is to profit you, and the reason why you have a prophecy gift is to profit me, and the reason why you have an administration gift is to profit all of us. Do you understand? And all the gifts are given to all of us so that every one of us can be built together into a spiritual house. Do you understand? And that means that every single one of us have a gift of the Spirit. Many of you know you have a gift of the Spirit. Five people. But every single one of us have a gift of the Spirit. And that's the reason why we're going to go through them. And we'll go through each of the gifts. And when we go through each of the gifts, you will be able to identify, hey, that's what I'm good at. Or that's what I like to do. Do you understand? And every one of us have a spiritual gift. I was going to share something about Cozzy, but I don't know if I should or not. You know, myself and Cozzy were talking about spiritual gifts one day, but Cozzy came into church one morning. Huh? But Cozzy came into church one morning. We were just talking, you know. And he says to me, I'd love to know what my gift is. And he says, you know what I want? He says, you know, I just want to go and tell people about Jesus. He said, I just want to help them and bring them into church. And there you go, evangelist. Do you understand? And we all have spiritual gifts. And it's what attracts us, or what our desire is. So what is the desire of your heart? What is it that you want to do for God? And when you think of that, if I said to you, what's the one thing that you want to do for God? Whatever comes up in your spirit is probably your spiritual gift. Do you understand? Probably your spiritual gift. And so he gives gifts. Look with me in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look with me here in verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth. And you know, God wants us to be involved in the work of the ministry. He wants us to be involved in the work of the church. But you know what? He doesn't expect us to do it on our own strength. But the scripture says that he will empower us to do what he has called us to do. And that's a good deal. Because it means that I don't have the responsibility, per se, to do it myself or to do it according to the flesh. But the Bible says that when I understand what my spiritual gift is and when I begin to step into it, the Holy Spirit himself will empower me to do it. And you might be sitting there thinking tonight, you know, I've got a gift, but I don't know what I would do with it, or I don't know how to handle it or whatever. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers the gift. It's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit that will do it through you. Because what you will find and see is the things that you will do after the Spirit are not natural anyway. They're supernatural. Do you understand? And so the Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness for him, or empowers us to do what it is that we need to do. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so the Holy Spirit comes to anoint us. He comes to empower us. He comes to anoint us. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One or from the Holy Spirit, and you know all things. And every one of us have an anointing from the Holy Spirit when we begin to walk in our spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit anoints us and empowers us for service. The Holy Spirit teaches us. We talked about that already in John chapter 14 and verse 26. It says that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit is a person. This is something that we need to get to. The Holy Spirit is a person. And you know, there's religions out there, and they call themselves Christian, but they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. They believe that the Holy Spirit is a force. But, you know, I'm going to show you some scriptures at the moment that show you that the Holy Spirit is an actual person. He's a member of the Godhead. So let's just look at these, just a few of them here. Look in Acts chapter 8. There's a couple of religions, if you like, out there that call themselves Christian, but they say that the Holy Spirit is a force. And what they actually say is he's a force like electricity. So I just want you to keep that in mind for a moment when we look through these verses and see if electricity is able to do any of these things. All right? So the Holy Spirit is a force like electricity. That's what they say. Look what he says here in Acts chapter 8. And look with me in verse 29. It says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know, the Spirit of God is able to speak. Because he said to Philip, go and join yourself to the chariot. That doesn't sound like a force to me. That sounds like a person. The Spirit of God spoke to Philip and said, go and join yourself to the chariot. Look with me in Acts chapter 13. Look with me here in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, I want you to notice here, the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so the Holy Spirit here chose Barnabas and Paul, anointed them for service, and said, separate them to me for the work that I have called them to. Does that sound like a person to you? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force, he's a person. He said, separate me to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so he called them, he equipped them, he anointed them. Look in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, look with me here in verse 28. It says, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And you know, the Spirit himself here makes decisions. It says it was good. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit to do this, and then he went ahead and done it. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit to do this. So the Holy Spirit makes decisions. Never seen electricity making a decision yet, have you? Never seen the Holy Spirit calling somebody and anointing them for service yet. I've never seen electricity speaking, because the Holy Spirit is a person. Look at this one. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Sorry, I'm going back to the book of Acts in a moment. I should have just stayed there maybe. But look at this one first in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, look with me in verse 30. It says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. You know why the Holy Spirit can be grieved? Because he's a person. Let me ask you a question, and this is just off topic a wee bit, but What grieves the Holy Spirit? Sin. We need to think about these things sometimes. You know, the scripture says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but I wonder when was the last time we thought about that? What is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? Because he says don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Go back with me to Acts chapter 5. So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. The Holy Spirit calls people for service. The Holy Spirit anoints people for service. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Watch what he says here in Acts chapter 5. I'll read this passage here from verse 1 because some of you have probably never heard this before. But in Acts chapter 5 in verse 1, it says, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Ananias said, well, let me just explain this here. If you go back and look in the end of chapter 4, the Christians at that time were very poor. There was no social welfare, there was no welfare system, there was no sickness benefit or anything like that, and a lot of them were quite poor. And those who had land and houses, the Bible says they sold their land, they sold their houses, and they brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet, and the apostles split it among all the poor so that they all were able to eat, right? But they didn't have welfare and so on, and that's the way they did it. But this couple here, Ananias and Sapphira, they had possessions, they had a plot of land, and what they said was, we'll sell the land and we'll bring some of the money to the apostles and we'll tell them we brought it all. So they were trying to tricked them into thinking they were better than they were, right? This is the background behind it. So let's read it here. Let's read it again. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, or she knew all about it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? See, he wasn't lying to Peter. Do you know who he was lying to? The Holy Spirit. But you know, the Holy Spirit must have been a person if he was lying to the Holy Spirit. And so he says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained yours, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your own hand? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And you know, it says here in verse 4, he says, in verse 3, he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit, you've kept back part of it. But he says, while it remained, or while it was yours, it was your own. And after it was sold, it was still your own. You had the right to do with it whatever you wanted. But he says, you tried to trick the Holy Ghost. So don't think for a minute that you have to sell everything and give it to God. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying to them, while you had it, it was yours. It was in your own power to do with it what you wanted. It was in your own power after you sold it to keep the money or to give the money. But he says, why have you lied about it? And he says, you haven't lied to man, but you've lied to God. You understand? And so he said here that the Holy Spirit is God. And so the Holy Spirit can be lied to. Look with me in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Not too many more verses for tonight. Acts chapter 16. Look with me here in verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, or wouldn't allow them. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we were endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for that for to preach the gospel unto them. And I want you to notice here, it says that they went to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit wouldn't let them. And they were also forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And you know, the Holy Spirit here is able to forbid or prevent human speech and plans. And the apostles here tried to go into this country, and it says the Spirit of God wouldn't let them go. Then they tried to go into this country, and the Spirit of God says, no, I don't want you to go in there either. And then the Spirit of God gave them a vision, and then they went over into the place that God wanted them to. And so the Holy Spirit here was in control. The Holy Spirit was speaking to them. The Holy Spirit was guiding them. The Holy Spirit was blocking them from going this way. He was blocking them from going that way and enabled them to go to the place that he wanted them to go to. And so the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit blocks us sometimes for going the wrong way because he has a way for us or a path for us to go. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. And you know, the scripture here tells us that the Spirit searches all things, and he knows God's thoughts, and he reveals them unto us. So the Spirit searches the deep things of God, and he makes them known unto us. Do you know that each and every one of us, that when we pray and when we ask God for something, the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God, and he's able to make them known to us. He's able to teach us. He's able to lead us. He's able to guide us. And it's amazing if you're able to hear that still speaking voice of God. And every one of us can hear it. But we just need to tune our ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And the Spirit of God searches the things of God. He knows God's thoughts, but he also reveals them unto us. The Spirit gives spiritual gifts. We talked about that already. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And again, the Spirit of God gives gifts to every man. Just a couple more verses here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look with me here in verse 26. It says here, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And you know, the scripture here tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us on our behalf. The Spirit of God knows that the mind of God, and he intercedes for us with words that we can't express. Now let me just share something with you, and we're going to get into this just a little bit later. One of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to believers is the ability to speak in tongues. And you know, sometimes you can find yourself in a situation where you have no clue what to pray for. You don't know what to pray for. But the scripture says that it's at times like that when we can go over and pray in tongues, we can pray in the Spirit. And what happens is the Spirit of God takes over and begins to pray according to the will of God, even though we don't know what to pray for. And I heard a testimony one time, and I've heard several testimonies like this, but I remember a pastor sharing with me one time that he woke up at 3 o'clock one morning and had a terrible burden to pray, but didn't know what to pray for. So he woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, had this burden to pray, and didn't know what to pray for, so he started to pray in tongues. And he prayed in tongues for 30 minutes, and then after he was finished, he went back to sleep. In the morning when he woke up, one of his congregation rang him and said that we had a real bad car accident at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we got out of it without a scratch. And what had happened is the Holy Spirit woke the man up. He didn't know what to pray for, because how could he know? And so he was praying away in tongues. And then at half three, he felt it was, okay, now it's time to go back to bed. And when they rang him in the morning, they said, we were in a terrible car wreck and we got out without a scratch. But you know what? The Holy Spirit woke him up. The Holy Spirit enabled him to pray for something that he couldn't possibly have known. Do you understand? And that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes you just pray away in tongues and you don't even know what you're praying for, but the Spirit knows what you're praying for. He intercedes for us, the Bible says, with words and with groanings that we don't even understand. And so it's good to pray in tongues. And you know, every single believer has the ability to pray in tongues if you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Last verse. Look with me in Romans here, chapter 8 and verse 16. It says here, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you know, sometimes you just know that you know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. You know how you know that? It's because the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit. And you just know that you know that you know, and nobody convinces you otherwise. You know why? Because the Spirit has already borne witness. But you know what happens as well, is the Holy Spirit bears witness with you whether somebody else is a child of God or not. Have you ever come across that? And you meet somebody, and you've never met them before, you don't know them from Adam, and you're talking to them for 2 minutes, and it's like you've been lifelong friends. Do you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit in you bearing witness with the Holy Spirit in them. And sometimes you find yourself in a place where somebody is talking to you and somebody is telling you, oh yeah, I'm a Christian and I do this for God, I do that for God. But you get a check in your spirit. You go, hold on a minute, something not right about that. Do you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness with you. And it's vitally important that we listen to the Spirit when he bears witness to us about things like that. So let's just recap some of these here. Jesus said that he was going to give us another comforter, or another one like himself, and that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then, when he comes, he guides us into the truth. He doesn't speak of himself, but he speaks about Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God we talked about. The Holy Spirit will teach us what to say when we need it. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit empowers us then to carry out the gifts and the anointings of God on our life. The Holy Spirit teaches us and reminds us of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit makes decisions. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be lied to. The Holy Spirit can guide us to go in a particular direction or stop us from going a different direction. The Holy Spirit searches all the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit helps us and intercedes for us. And he has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with us that we are the children of God. And so the Holy Spirit is vitally important. And we need to understand the things of the Spirit. And that was just a wee introduction tonight. But next week we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we come to that teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're here and if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you know that's for you. That's for you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everybody. You know, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And he was poured out so that each and every one of us could be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we'll get to this actually when we get there, but people don't understand sometimes. People think that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's true, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know what? Being filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit is two completely different things. And I could show you a demonstration, and I can't do it right now because I hadn't thought of it. But if you take a glass and you take a jug of water and you can fill that glass and that glass is full, and that's being filled with the Spirit. But if you take that glass and you drop that glass back into the jug full of water, that's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're two completely different things. One is that you have the Holy Spirit, but the second one is the Holy Spirit has you. Do you understand? Two completely different things. And we'll talk about that when we get there. Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet.